Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Faithful God, sanctify us by your Word and Spirit so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Listen to God's word. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. The second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 through 31. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples. And a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how our ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I am indebted to one of the Wednesday Bible study participants this week who mentioned and pointed out to our group an episode of the Star Trek. I've been saying Star Wars wrong, and I know that matters to many people. I might not be among them, but it matters. There's an episode from the original series, the second season of the show. I am, as I have just admitted, not a Trekkie. So if I get the details or the language mixed up, please give me some grace. But I did watch this particular episode. It's called Mirror, Mirror. I believe it's the fourth episode, maybe the fifth, but I think it's the fourth episode of the second season from the original 1960s running of Star Trek. We had a Bible study, of course, on the Luke passage that has already been read, these blessings and warnings and these imperatives from Luke's sermon on the plain. In this episode of Star Trek, a small group from the Starship Enterprise are accidentally beamed into a version of their home ship that exists in a parallel universe. That's where the episode gets its title, Mirror, Mirror. They find themselves on a ship that looks and operates identically to their own, with inhabitants who mirror their familiar crewmates. But it's not the same world. It's not the same ethos that they are used to. characters' personalities are a little off, or a lot off in some cases. The rules of life, the goals even of their interstellar mission, the values, what it takes to get ahead, or even what it means to be ahead, are entirely different. Instead of maintaining a peaceful curiosity about cooperative life among the United Federation of Planets, thank you very much, Wikipedia, the versions of themselves that they find are a part of a murderous society where starship officers advance by assassinating their shipmates. In a conversation with the alternative form of Mr. Spock, Mirror Spock, I'm going to call him, who in both worlds is driven by logic, the real Captain Kirk challenges him, saying, "Your empire is illogical because it cannot endure." Mirror Spock had just told him that under these conditions for advancing, the whole society will cease to exist in 240 years. An empire whose social structure is based on such rugged individualism that each entity must prioritize its own life over all others simply cannot endure. Or as Jesus said it, "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Actually, like many scriptures, these warnings don't really work fully out of context. Having a full belly all on its own doesn't sound like something to be too worried about. Laughing, experiencing joy doesn't seem like something to be avoided. These warnings only really give a sense of what Jesus is trying to say about God's realm when we read them with the blessings, the beatitudes that come before, and then also the imperatives that come after. But even before the Beatitudes, we can take a look at the setting of the sermon in the first place to give even more context. Jesus delivers this sermon fairly early in his ministry. It hasn't been too long since he appeared in the synagogue in Nazareth, where he read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, proclaiming to the congregation that the scripture had been fulfilled in their hearing, claiming the words he read as his mission statement of sorts. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Just about everything Jesus says or does in the gospel according to Luke after that point, including the sermon that we heard a selection of today, is in some reflection on how he is doing just this, bringing good news to the poor. Having been up on a mountain, first alone to pray and then with his disciples, Jesus came down to a level place, to be among those who had come to hear and see him, to be healed by him and his power. The location, as it is described, is no accident. He came down with them. The playing field, so to speak, was leveled. No one was above or below anyone else. Not his disciples, not even Jesus himself. They were all there together, standing shoulder to shoulder, and he spoke directly to them all. "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, revile you, and defame you. You, not someone else. Not some nebulous, those people out there somewhere who might. Blessed are you now. And it's the same with the warnings. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now, who are laughing now. Woe to you when all speak well of you. Jesus isn't speaking generically. He's not delivering a lecture for them to tuck away into their notebooks until the final exam sometime in the future. He is talking to this crowd right in front of him. He is describing their reality in that moment. Some on that plane, on that level place, in the presence of the Son of Man, where everyone stood shoulder to shoulder. Some were poor and some were rich. Some were hungry and some were full. Some were weeping and some were laughing. Some were hated and some were well spoken of. This gathering, this plural you, you all, or yous, or yins, or all y'all, it was a mixture of the experiences of the haves and have-nots all in one place. The disadvantaged and the advantaged, the privileged and the dispossessed, all in the presence of the divine, all seeking some sort of something from Jesus. Blessing, healing, comfort for their troubles. This is what the human family looks like. The community on the plain in Judea with people from near and far with its diversity of experiences, it was all together in front of him. And when he looked at them, he just had to say something. Without glossing over the diversity that does exist in this, our local communion of saints, or minimizing the struggles of those who have very real worries about their resources, we might need to look beyond the gathering of first priests standing shoulder to shoulder on a level plane where everyone's experience matters the same amount. We could read these words and think Jesus gave us a two-part address. In the style of the king in the parable of Matthew 25, we might imagine Jesus saying to one side, blessed, 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 while to the others, woe, woe, woe. But I don't think that's what he's doing here. Instead, I think the whole sermon, which actually continues beyond the portion that we read today, the whole sermon is for the whole community. It's not good news for these and bad news for those. Instead of all of them together, all of us together are being asked to consider, what does it mean to be full while others are hungry? What does it mean to have wealth while others lack resources? I think this sermon is proposing a provocative question. You, all of you, rich and poor, hungry and full, weeping and laughing, reviled and beloved, all of you, how are you going to live in the same community when some have plenty and some not enough? Wednesday night last week, as she won the Music Innovator Award at the Wall Street Journal Magazine Innovator Awards, it was announced that 23-year-old musician Billie Eilish had given away $11.5 million from the profits of her recent tour. She gave this money to organizations and projects and voices dedicated to food equity, climate justice, reducing carbon pollution, and combating the climate crisis. When she got to the podium to accept her Music Innovator Award, not an award for her philanthropy, she also addressed the audience of her wealthy peers, and she says things a little sharper than I might, so bear with me. We're in a time right now where the world is really, really bad and really dark, and people need empathy and help more than ever, especially in our country. I'd say if you have money, it would be great to use it for good things. Maybe give it to some people that need it. Love you all, she said to her audience, but there's a few people in here that have a lot more money than me. If you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire? No hate, but give your money away, shorties. Those are her words, clearly. How are we going to live with plenty when there are so many who have not enough? She said in so many words. Or in Jesus' words, how are you going to be my disciples? How are you going to be the communion of the saints when in this community there are some who are empty and some who are full? Some who are grieving and some without a care in the world. Some who are cast out and some who never lack for an invitation to all the places that matter. How are you going to go to the grocery store where some swipe a debit card without a second thought and some are holding their breath because the SNAP benefits didn't come on Saturday and they don't know when or if they will? To find at least part of Jesus' answer to these very questions, it helps us to look at the verbs he says to those who are listening after he grabs their attention. Love your enemies, he says. Do good to those who hate you. Bless, pray, offer. Do not everyone in between. Love. Do good. Bless, pray, offer, don't hold back, give. New Testament scholar, the Reverend Matthew Skinner, pointed out about Jesus' sermon that one of the leveling aspects of this is that we are all responsible for one another to some degree. My liberation, he says, is bound up in your liberation. My well-being is bound up in your well-being. My health is bound up in your health. My future, my security is bound up in yours. This society, which has no mirror universe to which we can escape if it's not going well, if we do not care for one another, each one's basic needs and spiritual needs, our illogical empire, where some hoard wealth while others come up lacking, it simply cannot endure. Instead, what we are called to do, we imperfect followers of Jesus, this gathering of the communion of saints, rich and poor standing side by side, what will define us as disciples of Jesus who came to bring news to the poor? What defines the community of saints is when we love, do good, bless, pray, offer, don't hold back, but give in the face of great need and always. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.